Ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now is writer, journalist for the New York Post covering the New York Knicks, the one and only Mark Berman. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, Bill. How are you? Great to be back.
Thank you. Mark, let's go back to the playoff series for a second. I really thought the Knicks would be able to pull it out. They were the higher seed. They had won the regular season series against the Hawks, but they fell short. How surprised were you by that series outcome?
Actually, I predicted the Hawks would win that. I thought it would be a lot closer. I don't think people realize what a massacre it was. Mm-hmm. The final three games were blowouts in the Hawks' favor, and that was the shocking part. Atlanta was at full strength. They even had DeAndre Hunter available, and he played great defense on Julius Randle. I didn't expect Julius to go into the tank like he did, but I thought that Atlanta had a little more than the Knicks. And I've ridden it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I still believe 41 and 31 was a bit inflated. Tom Thibodeau is a sensational regular season coach because he puts all his eggs in the regular season basket. He's playing guys monster minutes while other coaches will rest their star players.
Did we learn anything about our all-star Julius Randle? Did he get exposed at all in that series?
It's a good question, Bill. Did Atlanta find the blueprint to kind of rattle Randle? But I honestly think it was a lot about Randle. I think Julius was overhyped. I've spoken to some people close to him. He was just pressing too much. His adrenaline was racing so fast in game one, he actually was exhausted by halftime. I think next time around, and I do think there'll be a next time around this spring, I think Julius will be more composed. He's got a couple of more weapons around him, we think. I think that he, again, pressing, and he pressed some more when things didn't go well. I think Julius will be better in the playoffs. I don't think he's going to have the monster numbers this regular season like he did last season, because I think there'll be more distribution in terms of the points. But I do think we'll see a better Julius in the playoffs because he was downright awful. Mm-hmm. And another reason why the Knicks were routed in five games.
I guess that's where the lack of experience comes in, you know, learning how to prepare for those big games. Let's talk about some of those weapons. Mark, going into the offseason, what was the biggest question you had about the Knicks organization, and how did they do?
Well, you know, they needed a starting point guard. Alfred Payton had lost his confidence, and the fans just were all over him. I just could not see him coming back to the Garden for another year. And the Knicks realized it was time to move on. The question was, what starting point guard can they get? And out of semi-desperation, they decided that Kemba, after the buyout, would be a fit, a minimal investment of 2 years, $8 million. So they saved face. But let's be honest, Bill, we were going into that offseason and that free agency on August 1st with more grand visions than what happened. They had the most cap space in the NBA. Yep. And what the Knicks proved again is cap space is not everything. Teams can make a bunch of trades to create their cap space if they find a player like Kyle Lowry, who wanted to play in Miami, right, did not want to play in New York. Wow. So Miami was able to make some trades to open up the space and do a sign and trade type thing. Their offseason was a little underwhelming, but because Kemba is such a popular figure, yes, being from the Bronx and all, you know, Knicks fans came away satisfied. It's like, wow, we got Kemba. They just don't realize they're not getting all-star Kemba. They may be getting Kemba on his last legs. I hate to say that, but they may not need, because of Derrick Rose's re-signing, they may not need Kemba to play more than 22 minutes a night or so. Derrick coming off the bench is probably going to close games. And the other signing is Evan Fournier, who, you know, he's a decent player, a very decent player, but it's not a major upgrade over Reggie Bullock, because Reggie had a monster season last year that sort of went not unnoticed by the fans, but I don't think they understand that what made the Knicks great was their defense and their defensive chemistry and their offensive chemistry. We'll have to see what they look like with Fournier. So far in the preseason, Fournier didn't really fit in that terrifically. Right. But again, he's just adjusting to new teammates.
The Kemba Walker signing, Mark, I was one of those guys. I've been a big Kemba supporter for years. Again, he's a New York product. He made that magical run at UConn. My thoughts was always, yo, he was a great player in Charlotte. And if you put him around some players, he's going to do wonderful things. But then he got to Boston. He was with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and it didn't really turn out the way we expected. What has he said about the last 2 years? And what would you say is his state of mind? Like, what have you seen from him in this this preseason?
Yeah, he doesn't like to talk about Boston too much. Wow. In fact, we haven't gotten a chance to talk to Kemba that much this preseason, but he did go on the radio and sounded a little more bitter about the Boston breakup. But when you talk to scouts and other people around the league, they say they know what Brad Stevens was doing. Beyond the health issues, for whatever reason, in the two seasons, Kemba didn't have enough chemistry with their two best players in Jaylen Brown and Tatum. You know, you can't ever predict chemistry. Isaiah Thomas once said that to me back when he was running the Knicks, and he brought in a lot of talent like Zach Randolph, and Curry obviously was a health issue. But he says, you know, I brought in a lot of talented players, but I was never able to find any chemistry during my run. And you can never figure it out. I mean, it sometimes it's just luck. And the Knicks had that chemistry last season. Kemba did not have chemistry with those two guys. And Brad Stevens knew it as the head coach for them. He was promoted to GM. Mm-hmm. And I write it every time. Brad Stevens could not get rid of Kemba Walker fast enough. Right. It was almost a couple of days later, he had a blockbuster trade lined up to get Kemba out of Boston to Oklahoma City, where they didn't get value back. I mean, they got Horford, but they had to give up first round picks to get Kemba off the roster. So that's a red flag to me.
For sure.
But if it's a chemistry issue, maybe, okay, maybe Kemba's going to fit in better with Randall. And Fournier, well, let's be honest, Boston did play great when Fournier and Kemba ran the backcourt with the Celtics late last season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe on this, with the other five guys, maybe a Fournier-Kemba backcourt will work. And Kemba is not as explosive as he used to be, obviously. Rose is more explosive, but he's smarter. Mm-hmm. And at 22 minutes a night, you know, he might be a genuine upgrade over Elford. I think he will be.
Fournier is coming off of a silver medal representing France in the Olympics. You know, sometimes these guys go play on that level, and the NBA season after that, they do great things. But I was surprised to read that you wrote something that he's kind of struggling in this preseason. How do you think he's going to fit into this Knicks fold?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they gave him $78 million. Well, if they used the team option for the fourth year. So it was their big signing. And he didn't look right. He didn't look as athletic as I remembered him in Orlando. And he's no youngster. He's going to be turning 29 soon.
Wow.
One of my thought processes is maybe he's a little tired. I mean, the Team France went the distance in the Olympics and going to Tokyo, and the shortened season with the NBA, or the condensed off season. So maybe he's still a little wary But also, I think I wrote it in the preview, this is like his fourth team in, you know, since March. Orlando, Boston, Team France, and now the Knicks. So, yeah, there's there's an adjustment period, and Thibodeau doesn't seem too worried. He really pushed for Fournier, thinks he could get him to play really good defense. He's not known as a defender, but this is the key with Fournier, and they've said it all preseason. The difference between him and Bullock as an offensive performer, Bullock was strictly a catch-and-shoot three-pointer. He doesn't dribble. Not a good ball handler. Fournier is very versatile. He could get his three-point shot off the dribble. And, you know, he can drive the ball all the way to the hole. So in the playoffs, you need more shot creators. And Bullock did not have a good playoff versus Atlanta. They feel Fournier would be a better playoff performer, although he hasn't been in the playoffs too much,
right,
being down in Orlando for so many years.
Mark, the Knicks are undefeated in the preseason, right? So for those of us who haven't been able to watch all the games, like, you know which lineups are doing well and which lineups the other teams have played. Like, how reliable is this measurement of who the Knicks are?
Yeah, good question again. The last Washington game was probably not going to be a victory. Thibodeau treats every preseason game like it's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So he keeps his starters in the game to the final minutes. Even up 12, he has his starters in with 2 minutes left. I mean, he finally pulled them to get a look at Miles McBride and the rookie Grimes in one of those games. But in that final Washington game, Bradley Beal only played 9 minutes.
Okay.
He had a little minor knee thing. Was nothing serious, but it was the preseason. So Wes Unseld's son just sat him for the rest of the game. So the Knicks beat the Wizards without Bradley Beal and had to come back from 15 points down to do so. It wasn't a great performance. But I do think that this is a team that still has that continuity, and other teams are still finding their way. But the Knicks have a lot of chemistry, especially in that second unit, which won the game. And I think they'll start off a little quicker than some other teams because they, you know, it's basically the same nucleus. But yeah, preseason, other teams are not treating it like it's the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I wouldn't say it's totally reliable, but I think they're a winning team. Good. They're a winning team. They're not an unbeaten team, but they're a winning team. But I made my prediction, and it's not going to be as good as last season. In the paper, in the Post, Tuesday's New York Post, I put down my one loss record, and you know it's not as startling as 41-31.
What win loss record do you have?
In an 82 game schedule, I picked them for 43-39, seventh place, having a play in the 7-8. Play-in game, but that's okay. I mean, I think they would win. They'd have the home court in the 7-8 play-in game, and they would get in. Even if you lose the 7-8 play-in game, you then play the winner of the 8-9 game. I mean, the 9-10 game.
Right.
So it's the same weird format from last year with the 7th place through 10th place teams having their own little mini play-in event. And I think the Knicks are going to wind up in that because I think some teams in the Eastern Conference are going to soar by them.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Understood. One of your articles I read, you said the Knicks have a focus on the three ball this year. How is that different from last year's style of offense? And how has it looked this preseason?
I wonder if this was a Thibodeau idea or if it was coming from the front office. Thibodeau has been steadfast that he doesn't care about the volume of three-point shots. He cares about the quality and the percentage. And the Knicks were third or fourth in three-point percentage last year, but they ranked about 27th in attempts. But in the analytics world, in order to win in the playoffs, for instance, you need to be taking a high volume of three-point shots and hitting a decent percentage. But you can never match another team. If another team is shooting a little less percentage but shooting more, they still can outscore you. So the idea is to shoot more and hopefully shoot the same high percentage, which was between maybe 38.8% or 39% last season. And by shooting more, Tom still wants the same quality. So they've been running different patterns to create more three-point shots. They feel they just need to get more penetration to draw double teams and whip the ball out. The other thing is spacing. I mean, I think Tom realized they took too many long two-point shots last year. And if you just spread it out a little more, you have a three-point shot. The problem with the Knicks is their four centers, including rookie Jericho Sims, they are terrible three-point shooters. I don't want to hear that all of a sudden Taj Gibson could shoot the three.
No, sir.
He's been working on it. Nerlens Noel has been working on it. Robinson won't take it. He has no confidence of shooting anything beyond a six-footer. So a lot of teams have these, you know, centers who could shoot the three, and the Knicks don't. That's why we may see some small ball, and they went to it against Washington in the finale with Toppin at the power forward, Randall at center. And I think Tom really liked that look. And we may see if they're going to get those three-point attempts up, I think they're going to have to do a little more small ball, something they did not do at all last season, because Tom just did not believe in Toppin as a defender. And he wasn't shooting well enough from three to keep him out on the court.
Real quick, Mark, before I switch gears, who is the Knicks' best three-point shooter?
Well, Bullock led the club last season in three-point shooting. So right now, it's probably a battle between, I mean, I got to see more of Kemba, but he's become a decent three-point shooter. Fournier is a decent one. Randall is a decent one. But in terms of like a real terrific three-point shooter, I think that's probably one of the issues they have. I mean, Derek is now capable. We used to never even shoot them. They have a lot of decent ones, but they have no Steph Curry, obviously, right, or Seth Curry even. But they're all capable. And RJ, again, took the leap last season. His three-point shot looked good in preseason. So a lot of decent ones, but no great ones. And it would be very tough to decide who will lead the team in three-point field goal percentage this season. It could well be Kemba.
Right. You mentioned the front office. I saw last month you guys got to speak with Knicks president Leon Rose.
Change, yes.
What was the biggest takeaway from that meeting? I see he said that the Knicks are going to continue to be aggressive and try to make maneuvers.
Yeah, that was the best quote. So just on background, that was the first time we spoke to Leon Rose or anyone from the Knicks front office in 14 months, which is unprecedented.
Right.
Leon Rose is a behind-the-scenes kind of guy as a former agent, you know, isn't used to being out there behind microphones. So he didn't hold a formal press conference. We met with him in a conference room at the Tarrytown facility. No cameras were allowed. Mm-hmm. I guess Knicks Digital, the website, filmed from their cell phone or whatever contraption they have. But again, TV cameras were not invited. It was a very informal gathering around a table. But yeah, the biggest takeaway, and he's very guarded, and we see why he doesn't want to talk. And one of the excuses was, I think Tom Thibodeau does a great job with the media. I want him to be the face of the franchise. I want him to be our spokesman. And that's why I haven't talked. It was surprising to me because the team was doing so well. You'd figure Leon would want to, you know, toot his horn a little bit.
Yes.
But he remained out of the spotlight for 14 months. It was great to talk to him. We were there for about an hour. He made some jokes. He made fun of me for always mentioning he hasn't spoken. And
right. He
actually said something like, I bet you have it down to the hour on the last time I spoke.
Yes.
Yeah, so the best quote I thought, and he was asked about it, he didn't bring it up, but he said that, you know, regarding upgrading the roster in terms of adding another star, because they need another star, we're going to remain aggressive, but he added, we still want to be patient and we want to be smart about it. We don't want to give up the farm, in other words, to land another star. You know, we like our depth. But I think the Knicks have that type of roster where they can now, after this summer, they have a bunch of guys they could package in a trade. They have a lot of draft picks to package, but before that, they didn't really have, they had a lot of expiring contracts, but now they have decent players, maybe a Noel they could package in a trade. And they, I don't know what the, how they really feel about Mitchell Robinson, mm-hmm. who is a trade asset, even though he's going to be an expiring contract. Derek Rose certainly is tradable, but I can't imagine that they would. Derek Thibodeau allowing that to happen. But Kemba Walker, if it's a point guard, star point guard coming back, like, you know, who I'm talking about, Damian Lillard, yeah. And Kemba Walker is going to go to Portland, which would be a real bitter pill for him. As far away as from New York as you could possibly be. But he didn't get that no trade clause. So, yeah, he's going to be aggressive and monitor all the situations. Bradley Beal, who knows? Bradley Beal, what we saw in the, during preseason, we went to Washington. Terrible atmosphere, more Knicks fans than Nets fans. Yeah. There were maybe a few thousand people in the building. I know it was preseason, but the Wizards fan base is definitely modest, to say the least. I mean, it's just, it's not a passionate basketball town. It's a great basketball town, but not professionally, right. Not for the NBA. The Wizards never gained traction there. So then Bradley Beal comes to the Garden, and the Garden sounds like a playoff game for a preseason match. Wow. And Randall hits that buzzer beater. I mean, you thought that they won game one of the first round. So Bradley Beal got to experience that in a four-day span. So anyway, Bradley's going to be a free agent. So if they don't think Bradley's resigning, they may have to trade him. And other players such as Zach LaVine with Chicago, I still think Zach's going to stay in Chicago, but that's another person. And I always think Karl Anthony Towns is eventually going to want to get out of Minnesota because that is basketball Siberia.
Yes. Yes, man. Those are some exciting names. Real quick, Mark, if the starting five, who's the starting five?
Well, at center, by default, it's going to be Taj Gibson, because Mitchell, conditioning-wise, is not ready after playing just one preseason game. And Nerlens Noel is not going to even be active Wednesday night because he's still dealing with some mysterious hamstring knee issue. Mm-hmm. And he didn't play one preseason game. So you got Taj at center, Julius at the power forward. Mm-hmm. RJ is, you know, the small forward. It's interchangeable with shooting guard, which will be Evan Fournier, the new signee. Mm-hmm. And then Kemba will start at point guard. Great move by Derek Rose on Media Day, declaring Kemba Walker is your starting point guard. He removed any type of controversy because the way the preseason looked, I mean, Derek looked like the better player,
right?
But Derek really fits well off the bench, did so last season. In fact, when they benched Elfrid in the midway through the Atlanta series, the bench did not function well, and the Knicks were routed three straight games. When Derek Rose started at point guard, that occurred for the final three games of the playoff series, and the Knicks did not compete. Rose also broke down like very late in that series. He was not the same. You could see him limping off the court on a couple of occasions. So I think it works perfectly with Kemba as the starter and Derek coming off the bench, probably closing games unless Kemba is on fire.
When I saw Kemba as an addition, you know, he's a strong guard. We got D Rose. I wonder what that means for Emmanuel Quickley. Can we expect him to have the same role in the rotation?
Well, Kemba just said that, made it official that he's not going to play all the back-to-back games, two games in two nights. So in Boston, he didn't play any. This season, he's going to try to play some of them and rest on some of those second nights or first nights. Either way, you could rest the first night and play the second night or vice versa, depending on the matchups, I guess. But what the Knicks did in Summer League is they really drilled Emmanuel quickly to be more of a point guard. Mm-hmm. He didn't shoot well in summer league, but he ran the offense and he was impressive. He was racking up assists, like 8 assists a game. And he's more comfortable in that role. Emmanuel quickly thinks he's a point guard. And the Knicks now are comfortable enough on nights when Kemba is rested. Emmanuel will see what I believe will happen is Derek will start and Emmanuel will be the backup point guard. So Emmanuel has a very key role on this team, whether he's playing the point guard solely or switching between him and Derek. Sometimes on the second unit, Emmanuel and Derek will be the backcourt and they'll alternate bringing the ball up court. That changes the look. So it gives them some versatility. So Emmanuel's huge. He's, you know, second team all rookie.
Good.
Has a lot of confidence. The fans love him. Tibbs mm-hmm. loves him. He's gonna play. He's gonna play a lot.
Mark Berman, you're the best, sir. Thank you. Enjoy your season.
I appreciate the time and always enjoy being on the show, Bill. You do a great job.
Thank you, sir. Take care.